The above passages show how that God created both the elect and reprobates for his own glory. Although the reprobates do not consciously glorify God, he gains glory for himself through them, so that he is glorified by the elect in the salvation, by the reprobates in their destruction. Only the order of eternal decrees in superlaspalism is opposed to infralaspalism, is consistent with the biblical data. Number one, the election of some sinners to salvation in Christ, the reprobation of the rest of sinful mankind. Number two, the application of redemptive work of Christ to elect sinners. Number three, the redemption of the elect sinners by the work of Christ. Number four, the fall of man. Number five, the creation of world and man. Although all thoughts are simultaneous in the mind of God, the logical arrangement of the eternal degrees, beings with the degrees that God would glorify himself through the salvation by the elect, by Christ, and the destruction of the reprobates. Each subsequent degree is then made as the means by which the former one would be accomplished. Therefore, God chose to glorify himself, and by the means by which he would be glorified is the salvation of some by Christ and by the damnation of all others. The means by which the latter would be accomplished is the redemptive work of Christ, and the means by which the redemptive work of Christ is made meaningful is the fall of mankind. For the fall of mankind to be possible, God decreed the creation of world and man. Infralaspalism confuses the execution of the eternal plan with its formulation, so that it bring when the supralaspalism orders end. However, a rational mind formulates a plan first by determining the end, and then working backward determines the means by which it would reach the determined end. The execution of such a plan, however, reverses the order of formulation, so that it begins with the formulation end. Supralaspalism is the teleological order, and infralapsarianism is the historical order. Since the purpose of discussing the order of eternal decrees is to discover the logical arrangement of formulation and not the historical order in plan's execution, supralapsarianism is the biblical position. This means that God actively decreed the fall of mankind as one of the steps by which he would fulfill his eternal plan. Sin was not an accident. The redemption was not a mere reaction, one of the part of God. As the scripture says, the Lord works out everything for his own ends, and even the wicked for a day of disaster. Proverbs chapter 16 verse 4 says to say. Now, the nature of man. According to Bible, God made man in his own image. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created himself. So when we see that man is created in his own image, as if in Genesis chapter 1 verse 27 says, whatever is meant by the image of God, it cannot refer to something that God himself does not possess. Since it has been established that God is incorporeal, the image must therefore be unrelated to man's body. However, since there are those who assert otherwise, we must take some time to deal with the issue here. We must approach the question by asking in what way man is like God and what constitute man's point of contact with God. We should also consider in what way man is superior to animals. If the image of God is seen in man's body, then it is arguable that some animals are also made in God's image, since the physical differences between man and some animals are not so vast as to say that one is made in the image of God and other not. That is, if the images include the physical appearance of man. But this is unacceptable, since the scripture tells us that what distinguishes man from animal is precisely the image of God. Therefore, the image of God cannot refer to the body of man or his appearance, but something else. Deuteronomy 4:15-18 says that God has no form, and therefore it is unlawful to make any idol or image to represent God, even if it is the appearance of a human being. You saw no form of any kind the day of the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the fire. Therefore, watch yourself very carefully so that you do not become corrupt and make for yourself an idol, an image of any shape, whether formed like a man or woman, or like any animal on earth, or any bird that flies in the air, or like any creature that moves along the ground, or any fish in the waters below. This passage alone is sufficient to establish that any substance with a form of appearance cannot be the image of God. Since God himself has no form, the physical body or appearance of man cannot be the image of God. It cannot even be a part of it. An analysis of biblical data demands that the image of God be defined in terms of intellect. Although man has the advantage of being an upright primate by possessing opposable thumbs, the bodies of many animals are superior to man's in various ways. However, none of the animals can compare to man in intellectual ability. That God had made man in his own image means man is a rational mind. Many animals run faster than man. Many are stronger, and some can even fly, but none can understand deductive syllogism or solve algebraic equation. Animals sometimes seem to perform tasks. They require rational thinking of design, such as building elaborate nests. But upon further observation, we discover that their creativity and ability to adapt are limited, and that they are able to perform the task only by instinct and not through deliberate and rational thought. Most importantly, no animal can perform theological reflection. Man's rational mind is like the likeness of God and his point of contact with him. Man's intellectual qualities are evident from the beginning of Genesis. God blessed man in Genesis chapter 1 verse 28 to 30, giving him dominion over nature by a verbal pronouncement. Adam cared for Eden, not by instinct, but in obedience to God's verbal instruction. God gave man a moral command in Genesis chapter 2 verse 16, forbidding him to eat from the trees of knowledge of good and evil, but allowed him to eat from all the other trees. Man was warned that to violate his command would result in his death. Only a rational mind can understand concepts such as duty, sin, and death. The Bible explicitly distinguished man from the animals on the basis of intellectual powers. Genesis chapter 2 and Job 2 verse 7 and Job chapter 32 verse 8 says, the Lord formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being. But it is the spirit in a man, the breath of Almighty, and gives him understanding. Job chapter 35 verse 11 says, God teaches more to us than to the beast of the earth and makes us wiser than the birds of the air. Job chapter 39 verse 17 says, God did not endow, that means the ostrich, with wisdom or give her a share of good sense. Psalms 32 verse 9 says, do not be like the horse or the mule, which have no understanding, but must be controlled by bit and bridle, or they will not come to you. In Colossians chapter 3 verse 10 says, the new self is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of his creator. It is impossible to deny the conclusion that the image of God is man's rational mind, but some have tried to add other elements to his definition, such as man's morality and his dominion over nature. Although this is consistent with our position, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 24, we must maintain that rationality remains the basic element in defining the image of God in man. Thank you.